वासुदेवाय। रीडिंग फ्रॉम श्रीमद् भागवतम कैंटो 10 चैप्टर 28 एंटाइटल कृष्ण रेस्क्यूज नंद महाराज टेक्स्ट नंबर 14। इति संचिंत्य भगवान महाकारुणिको हरि दर्श्यम आश लोकम स्वम गोपानाम तमस परम। इति संचिंत्य भगवान महाकारुणिको हरि दर्श्यम आस लोकम स्वम गोपानाम तमस परम। इति संचिंत्य भगवान महाकारुणिको हरि दर्श्याम आस लोकम स्वम गोपानाम तमस परम। इति इन दीज वर्ड्स संचिंत्य कंसिडरिंग टू हिमसेल्फ भगवान द सुप्रीम पर्सनैलिटी ऑफ गॉडहेड महाकारुणिक द मोस्ट मर्सीफुल हरि ही लॉर्ड हरि दर्शयम आस आस शोड लोकम द प्लैनेट वैकुंठ स्वम हिज ओन गोपानाम टू द कवर्ड मैन तमस मटीरियल डार्कनेस परम बियॉन्ड। ट्रांसलेशन दस डीपली कंसिडरिंग द सिचुएशन द ऑल मर्सीफुल सुप्रीम पर्सनैलिटी ऑफ गॉडहेड हरि रिवील्ड टू द कवर्ड मैन हिज अबोड विच इज बियॉन्ड द मटीरियल डार्कनेस। Purport by the disciples of His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. It is clear from this verse that the absolute truth dwells in His own eternal abode. Everyone of us tries to live as comfortably as possible, surrounding ourselves with peace and beauty. How can we, in the name of logic, begrudge the Supreme Lord, our Creator, the supremely beautiful and comfortable abode known by people in general as the kingdom of God. Om agyanti mirandasya gyananjana shalakaya chakshurun militam yena tasmai shri gurave namaha shri chaitanya manobishtam stapitam yena bhutale swayam rupa kadamayam dadati swapadantikam vandeham shri guru shri utaha padakamalam श्री गुरुन् वैष्णवांश्च श्री रूपां सागरजातां सहगणा रघुनाथां वितं तं सजीवं साद्वैतं सावधूतं परिजना सहितं कृष्णचैतन्यदेवं श्री राधा कृष्णपदान् सहगणा ललिता श्री विशाखान्वितंश्च ಹೇ ಕೃಷ್ಣ ಕರುಣಾ ಸಿಂಧು ದೀನಬಂಧು ಜಗತ್ಪತೆ ಗೋಪೇಶ ಗೋಪಿಕಾ ಕಾಂತ ರಾಧಾ ಕಾಂತ ನಮೋಸ್ತುತೆ. ತಪ್ತ ಕಾಂಚನ ಗೌರಾಂಗಿ ರಾಧೆ ವೃಂದಾವನೇಶ್ವರಿ ವೃಷಭಾನುಸುತೆ ದೇವಿ ಪ್ರಣಮಾಮಿ ಹರಿಪ್ರಿಯೇ. ವಂಚಕಲ್ಪತರುಭ್ಯಶ್ಚ ಕೃಪಾ ಸಿಂಧುಭ್ಯೇವ ಚ ಪತಿತಾನಾಂ ಪಾವನೇಭ್ಯೋ ವೈಷ್ಣವೇಭ್ಯೋ ನಮೋ ನಮಃ. ಜಯ ಶ್ರೀ ಕೃಷ್ಣ ಚೈತನ್ಯ ಪ್ರಭು ನಿತ್ಯಾನಂದ ಶ್ರೀ ಅದ್ವೈತ ಗದಾಧಾರ ಶ್ರೀವಾಸಾದಿ ಗೌರ ಭಕ್ತವೃಂದ. ಹರೇ ಕೃಷ್ಣ 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 ಹರೇ ಹರೇ, ಹರೇ ರಾಮ 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 ಹರೇ ಹರೇ. ಹರೇ ಕೃಷ್ಣ. So here in this particular section of the Srimad Bhagavatam, we are studying a very special pastime of the Lord, which is very much connected with the way He reciprocates with His devotees and the way He deals with people whom He loves. So of course, I would like to seek blessings from all the devotees so that I can speak something on this very exalted subject matter. Being underprepared and being not really able to focus, I'll try to speak something which is valuable if Krishna wills. So, the situation here is that Krishna has come out from the abode of Varuna, and it has been observed that Varuna, he has captured Nanda Maharaj, Krishna's father, and taken him into the abode. And somehow, you know, Krishna brought him back out. And when he was there, when Krishna was inside, Varuna worshipped him with reverence, with awe and reverence. And which made Nanda Maharaj understand that this is not an ordinary boy, he's not my son only. He is something else. And naturally, there was a lot of veneration and worship among the Vrajavasis. So all the Vrajavasis felt that, you know, they realized that Krishna is not just an ordinary coward boy. He may be the Supreme Lord. So after that, this particular section, in the last verse, the thoughts of Krishna are there. So the coward men, they considered Krishna to be the Supreme Lord, and they started thinking, will the Supreme Lord bestow upon us His transcendental abode? So they were thinking, they didn't even express. Krishna understood their thoughts, and He decided to show them for a fact that what is waiting for you, I'm just showing you a glimpse of it. So He decides over here in the previous verse, certainly people in this world are wandering among higher and lower destinations, which they achieve through activities performed according to their desires without full knowledge. People do not know their real destination. And here in this verse, thus deeply considering the situation, the all-merciful Supreme Personality of Godhead revealed to the coward man His abode, which is beyond material darkness. So, a desire of His devotees, not even an expressed desire, it is an internal desire Krishna is trying to fulfill through, you know, showing a manifestation of His abode. So now, if you see this pastime from many perspectives, it gives us a lot of understanding. One thought process, one perspective to see this pastime is that the Lord is eager to show us an experience of the spiritual world. So, to show us an experience of the spiritual world, Krishna does different things. Here, Krishna was personally present and He manifested the experience of the spiritual world. But the same thing He can do through His devotees. Srila Prabhupada called ISKCON as an embassy of the spiritual world. The activities of the spiritual world, the experience of the spiritual world can be experienced within the material world. That's what this pastime is about. So if you see from that perspective, Srila Prabhupada, He wanted to show, give a taste of to the people of this world what the spiritual world could be like. What relationships in the spiritual world could be like. what activities in the spiritual world could be like, and what the feeling of ecstasy in the spiritual world could be like. So, in one sense, what is happening in Vrindavan, in the presence of Krishna, is still continuing to happen if we allow it to happen. So, this whole story is based on the concept of faith. Because the Vrajavasis had innocent faith in Krishna, they had a strong faith in Krishna, Krishna decided to show them an experience of the spiritual world. So, what is required to experience the kingdom of God is faith. And through faith, one can experience something that one cannot tangibly experience also. In the Srimad Bhagavatam, we find the story of Vritrasur. So, one of the ways in which Bhagavatam is talked about is that literature in which Vritrasur's story is there. You know, that is one of the ways in which Bhagavatam, if somebody doesn't know what is Bhagavatam. And this is one of the ways in which Bhagavatam is described to people. That book in which the story of Vritrasur is there. Now, why is the Bhagavatam considered to be, bringing out this story so elaborately and strongly out? A couple of reasons. I would like to spend some time on seeing the story of Vritrasur from this perspective and comparing the story of Vritrasur to the story of the Vrajavasis that is happening right now here. So, Vritrasur, through his life, he taught us many important things that one should consider while practicing spiritual life. So the comparison between Vritrasur and Indra was that Vritrasur was a demon, and though he was a demon, he had a lot of faith in God. He had a lot of faith in the powers of Krishna manifesting through different people. So there was a fight between Indra and Vritrasur, and Indra had got a weapon, a thunderbolt, which was made from the bones of Dadichi Muni and personally empowered by Krishna, and he was told by the Lord that use his weapon and it will work. So Indra came boldly to fight against Vritrasur. Vritrasur was a huge, gigantic demon, and when Indra, before he threw the thunderbolt, he threw his mace, and Vritrasur just caught it and threw it back at Indra, and it hit Airavat, pushed him behind by many, many feet. So Indra lost his confidence and he wanted to run away from the battlefield. So then Vritrasur started encouraging him that don't give up faith. Don't worry. You kill me. You have the weapon of Lord Vishnu. It will work. So here is a demon giving courage to a devotee. So it's not always that devotees get courage only from one source. They can get courage from many sources. And sometimes, apparently, demonic people can give you more faith than you have in yourself. So, Vritrasur's mindset was that, he was a person who was thinking that, so basically a person who thinks that they are the doer of their own activities, such a person cannot have complete faith in the Lord. So when a person thinks that I am doing what I am doing, such a person cannot have full faith in Krishna. And to the degree we think that we are the doer, to that degree, we tend to take credit for what we do. So here, in this story, Indra, he wanted to get credit for killing Vritrasur, because he was thinking that I am killing him, I am doing it. On the other hand, Vritrasur was thinking, I am not doing anything, neither is Indra doing anything. The only one who is doing anything is Krishna. So because Krishna is anyway the doer, and Krishna has already willed that I die, whether Indra kills me or somebody else kills me, I'm going to die. And if Krishna has decided this is going to happen, nothing can stop it from happening. This mindset is the mindset of a pure devotee. This mindset is a mindset of somebody who understands that Krishna's will prevail. In the Mahabharata, we hear the story of Barbaric. There's one demon who comes to the battlefield of Kurukshetra to fight against the Pandavas, and the Kauravas. He doesn't know whom he wants to fight against. He comes because he wants to be part of the war. So Krishna realizes that this demon is coming, so he interferes and he asks him that whose side you're going to go. And he had a very simple answer. He said, I'll go to the side which is weaker. So right now in the beginning of the war, Pandava side is weaker, so he's coming to them. And after some time, if Kaurava side becomes weaker, he'll shift there, you know. So Krishna realizes this is a dangerous fellow. So he asked him that, you know, which are your weapons? So this fellow removed three arrows and showed Krishna. So Krishna said, you're fighting such a big war with only three arrows. Either the three arrows are enough for me. I can destroy as many people as possible. Krishna said, I want to see how it works. So Krishna showed him a tree and he said, can you remove all the leaves of this tree with your arrows? He said, no problem. And he shot. So what he did was, he marked with one arrow, the first arrow, all the leaves of the tree. And with the third arrow he shot and he brought down all the leaves. And all the leaves were taken and the arrow came and stood at the feet of Krishna. Krishna asked him, why is this arrow standing here? So this man, he said, there's one leaf under your feet. So Krishna lifted his feet and that arrow took that leaf and came out. So Krishna asked him, what is the second arrow for? So he said, if I mark somebody to kill that person, and if I later on realize that I don't want to kill him, so I use the second arrow to unmark it. Like original Photoshop concept, you know. So Krishna realized that this person is really dangerous. So he asked this person, can you give me something? So this man said, I'll give you whatever you want. You're asking me charity, I'll give you. So Krishna said, give me your head. So this man got shocked. Krishna is asking for his head. So then he realized that this person is not ordinary, and he realized that I have to anyway submit to the will of this person. So he said, I have a request. He said, because I'm come to see this war, I don't want to die. I don't mind giving my head to you, but let my head see the whole war. So Krishna put him on a stick, the head on the stick. And this head was seeing the entire war of Kurukshetra. And after the whole battle got over, the Pandavas, they went to this barbaric's head. And they asked his head that, so Arjuna was quite naturally proud that he was victorious and he was the one who was practically instrumental in the whole war. So he asked his head, who is the hero of the war? You know, generally after a whole huge series, there's a man of the series declared, you know. So Arjuna wanted to know, who is the man of the series of this whole thing? So Barbaric said, as far as I have seen, the whole war I have seen, there was only one person fighting on all sides. That was Krishna. Everybody else was standing there and Krishna was doing everything. This was his conclusion after observing the whole war. So in life, when you see from the eyes of a pure devotee, when you see from the eyes of a person who can see the truth as it is, the realization comes that nobody is doing anything. Krishna is doing everything and Krishna is orchestrating everything. This is faith. So Vritrasur, he had complete faith that neither Indra was going to kill him, nor was he doing anything. The only person who was doing was Krishna, and Krishna had already willed that he dies. And the instrument of Krishna's will was that thunderbolt. So Vritrasur knew that if Indra had faith in the instrument of Krishna's will, the instrument will act. Unfortunately, many times, even as devotees, we lose faith in the instrument of Krishna's will. And sometimes, we may be the instrument of Krishna's will, but we don't have faith in ourselves. So Vritrasur, a demon, he is trying to tell Indra that have faith. If you study the life of Srila Prabhupada, it's very much like how the situation of Vritrasur and Indra was. Prabhupada had gone to an entire demonic civilization. And in the midst of the entire demonic civilization, Prabhupada stood alone. And he had the weapon, thunderbolt of the holy name. But the difference between Indra and Srila Prabhupada was that Prabhupada had faith in that weapon. He had faith that this weapon is going to work. The weapon is always powerful, but if you don't have faith that the weapon is going to work, there are so many people who had the weapon. But none of them had faith that the weapon is going to work. Therefore, they couldn't attack the demonic civilization so much. There were many people who were sent to the West. There were many people who were sent to preach. But the attack on the demonic civilization came when there was not just the weapon, but more than the weapon, the faith in the weapon. So here, for Vritrasur, the thunderbolt was not Indra's. And for Vritrasur, his own trident that he was carrying was not his. For him, from his perspective, both the thunderbolt and the trident belong to Krishna. At this point of time, Krishna decided that the thunderbolt is going to work and the trident is not going to work. So naturally the thunderbolt will work. That was Vritrasur's faith. So here in this story that we are seeing, we see that the Vrajavasis had complete faith in Krishna, that all solutions to their problems lies with Krishna. So taking shelter of someone or taking shelter of a process, it works better when you have faith that that process has solutions to all your problems. But if you don't have faith, or if you feel that there are better solutions existing in this world, so naturally you will not be able to deposit complete investment of faith in that particular solution. So the Vrajavasis didn't have a plan B. In fact, the Vrajavasis never had a plan B. They had only plan K. That's it. They never had faith in any other plan except the plan that Krishna is going to save us. So the moment you have that kind of faith that is invested, the result will come. So, but the point is that, is focusing on the result that important? So from Vritrasur's perspective, immaterial of what the result is, one has to keep doing his duty. Indra was thinking from the result point of view. Indra was thinking, I threw the mace, it didn't work. What if I throw the thunderbolt and it doesn't work? That is the last thing I have. So he was not ready, he had lost confidence that, the thunderbolt will work, because he was thinking from the point of view of result. Vritrasa was telling Indra, don't think from result point of view. You have to do your duty. Don't be attached to the result. When you do your duty, whether result will come or not, doesn't come, it is not in your hand. What is in your hand is to do your duty. He was speaking Bhagavad Gita, standing on the battlefield. So Krishna and Arjuna, the same conversation was happening between Vritrasura and Indra. Arjuna was filled with doubt, and Indra was filled with doubt. Apparently here, Krishna is supposed to be a divine personality and Vritrasura is supposed to be a demonic personality. But the message that is coming out is same. So Bhagavad Gita is not just a book which is spoken once. It is a book of a lifestyle of a devotee which is spoken always. Krishna only restated it at that point of time. The Raja Rishis, the parampara which Krishna speaks about from Ikshvaku, the same Gita has been recited so many times. Krishna gave it to Sun God when it came down in the parampara so many times. So many kings have heard it, so many kings have spoken it, and passed it, the message has been passed down. So Vritrasura speaking the Bhagavad Gita is not something unique. It's knowledge that is available. It's knowledge that Indra also had. But only thing is, Indra didn't know the application of the knowledge at the right time. Vritrasura knew the application of the knowledge. So Vritrasura is telling Indra, don't be attached to your activities. Just focus on dharma. If you focus on success, then you will have no confidence. But if you focus on doing the dharma properly, then whether success comes or doesn't come, it is Krishna's will that will prevail. So Vritrasura is telling him, don't give up, just because the club didn't work. So in the process of Krishna consciousness also, this faith that Krishna is doing everything and the faith that results are not in my hand is something that comes out from this story, and also from this story which we are seeing of the Vrajavasis. The Vrajavasis were not so much bothered about, when they should take shelter of Krishna and when they shouldn't. They were taking shelter of Krishna 24 hours a day. It's not that only when problems came, they came to Krishna. They were connected with Krishna practically all day long. And when problems came, definitely they came to Krishna. So, this concept of wonder this concept of fearlessness, how does it come in? So we have seen in the last few episodes that we are seeing the Govardhan Puja, where Indra created such a turbulence in Vrindavan. In that turbulence also, the Rajasis are fearless. And the reason the Rajasis were fearless was because they were constantly remembering Krishna. So basically, constant remembrance of Krishna made the Rajasis fearless. And even Vritrasur, what made him really fearless, he was talking about his own death. How many people can talk about their own death, you know, and the person who is going to kill them is there in front. So he was fearless because he was thinking that nothing is going to impede me from going to the spiritual world. Because he had complete faith in, because he was constantly remembering Krishna. And that constant remembrance created a concept of fearlessness in Vritrasura. So, if you study in this particular pastime, one of the reasons why the Vrajavasis had this kind of experience of seeing the spiritual world was because of their relationship with each other and their relationship with Nanda Maharaj. So Nanda Maharaj was a pure devotee of Krishna. He was a servant of the Lord. So the Vrajavasis, their mood was that we are the servants of the servants of Krishna. The Vrajavasis, the mood was that they are, you know, serving Nanda Maharaj and assisting Nanda Maharaj in the pastimes of Krishna. So naturally, because they were assisting Nanda Maharaj in the pastimes of Krishna, you know, they had these kind of experiences with Krishna. So the point is that when the mood that one has is the mood that I want to become the servant of the servant of the Lord, that mood creates an experience of the spiritual world. So here, the reason Krishna felt that these people are qualified to see the spiritual world was because they were living a lifestyle of the spiritual world only. The lifestyle of the spiritual world was that one serves the devotees constantly, one assists the devotees constantly, and one's consciousness is that I am not doing anything, but I am just the instrument of the devotees of Krishna and doing something for Krishna. So, Vritrasura, he was praying that if I die, after I die, what is his aspiration after he dies? His aspiration after he dies is not to go back to the spiritual world and serve Krishna. His aspiration after he dies is that I want to become the servant of the devotees of the Lord. Because that aspiration is a more stable aspiration than just becoming the servant of the Lord. Because the devotees not just help you serve the Lord, but help you serve the Lord in the right spirit, in the right attitude. So Vritrasura, he wanted to surrender his life to the devotees of the Lord. So Vrajavasis here, they are already doing that. Their mood was that they were already assisting Nanda Maharaj in the pastimes of Krishna. So because they were already doing that, Krishna felt they are most qualified to see the spiritual world. So for us to be able to experience the spiritual world, it depends a lot on our own attitudes. We may be living in the spiritual world, but in the spiritual world, we can experience material consciousness. ISKCON, in one sense, is the spiritual world, is the embassy of the spiritual world in the material world. But within an organization like this, one can have an absolute material consciousness if one feels, without me nothing can happen. Rather than feeling that, I am here because devotees are merciful on me and allowing me to be here, to serve them. So, the moment one feels that without me nothing can happen, then what one is doing is, one is putting oneself in the position above all the devotees. And the moment one feels, I am here to assist the devotees, naturally the position that one is putting ourselves is, below the feet of the devotees and allowing the devotees to run our lives. So preceding the experience of the spiritual world is an experience of being the servant of the devotees. So if you want the experience of the spiritual world which Krishna gave the Vrajavasis at this point of time, first, are we ready to experience what the Vrajavasis had already experienced so far? Selflessly, without any motive, and with complete faith serving the devotees of the Lord. So Vrajavasis, when they were serving Nanda Maharaj, they never served Nanda Maharaj with the expectation that one day I will see the spiritual world. They served Nanda Maharaj with a pure motive that we love this person and we love to serve this person. That's it. So when our motive, intention is very strongly towards only serving the devotees of the Lord, doing our dharma of serving the devotees, and not really expecting results to come out of it, then at some point of time, Krishna will reveal the spiritual world to us. And the point of time when Krishna will reveal the spiritual world to us is a point where we don't even have to speak it. Here the Vrajavasis have not even expressed the desire to see the spiritual world to Krishna. Krishna just understood their thoughts. But after understanding the thoughts, Krishna also analyzed their actions. It's not just that you deserve to go to the spiritual world. It's not just that you desire to see the spiritual world, but rather you desire after you deserve. So Vrajavasis had lived a life of service to the servants of the devotees, and naturally they deserved to see the spiritual world. And at this point of time, they only desired it. And Krishna saw that they desired it, but he also saw that they deserved it. And then he decided to reveal to them the spiritual world. So, devotees need not be of a typical type to be able to see, experience the spiritual world. The Vrajavasis, if you see, none of them are sadhus. The whole of Vrindavan is filled with householders only. If you see from my external perspective, what are they doing? Are they doing something extraordinary? No. They're making garlands, they're milking cows, they are farming, they're taking care of cows. Simple village life. So that is the lifestyle that is there in hundreds of villages in India, across the world. So just having a simple village life, is it conducive to be able to experience the spiritual world? That simple village life, along with keeping God in the center, Krishna in the center, that combination becomes conducive. So simplicity is not the only criteria to be able to see the spiritual world, to experience Krishna. Simplicity, along with a God-centric life, is the criteria. So here, if you study the personality of the Vrajavasis of Vrindavan, they lived a very simple life, a life of faith. But life centered around faith in Krishna, Krishna's will. Vritrasur, a powerful demon, ugly looking creature, what was his life? Though he had a complicated appearance, he had a simple heart. And so Krishna doesn't look at the complicated appearance so much. He looks at the simplicity of the heart. We may have complicated skills, but within that complicated skills should be situated a simple heart. And that simple heart will attract Krishna more than all the external complications. So Vritrasur didn't allow his complication to unsettle his simplicity. So you find in the life of Kunti Maharani, a very simple lady, externally, nothing great about it, a simple mother, a simple personality. So her prayer, and if you study the prayers of Vritrasur and the Vrajavasis here, the three of them have alignment in their prayers. Interestingly, all the characters of the Srimad Bhagavatam, the pure devotees of the Lord, their desires and aspirations are very much aligned with each other's, because their desires and aspirations are not centered around their own selves, but they are centered around the principles which Krishna sets. So when you align your desires in alignment with the principles that Krishna sets, the standards that Krishna sets, then it's very, very much easy for one to be able to draw parallels. Kunti Maharani, Vritrasur, and the Vrajavasis had one common prayer. What was their common prayer? Their common prayer was that, we were praying, my dear Lord, our attachments to our family, our attachments to matter, and our attachments to the body are so strong that these attachments are impeding us from developing love towards you. So all of them were praying to the Lord, my dear Lord, cut away our attachments to all these external things. Vritrasur, strongly attached to the body. What is a demon? Demon is one who is attached to his body. Strong attachment to the body creates a demonic mentality. Because demonic mentality means I am the enjoyer. Everything around should revolve around my enjoyment. So when this mentality is very strong, the demonic quality in one comes up. So Vritrasur not just had the body of a demon, he was praying that, my dear Lord, I have the mindset of a demon also. I am attached to my family, I am attached to the body, I am attached to matter. Please cut away these attachments of mind. You may say, the demon is praying like this. So demons are attached, you can say that. What about Kunti Maharani? Same prayer. Kunti Maharani is praying, my dear Lord, I am attached to my family. For me, I have so much attachment to the family. Disconnect my attachment to the family. Why? Is it that her family was an attachment for her? It was an attachment, but how did she overcome the attachment? She didn't overcome the attachment by going to the forest. That was what she did in the end. But how did she overcome her attachment to the family? She overcame her attachment to the family by putting Krishna in the center. Then everything became Vaishnava Seva. So when she was serving her sons, what she was doing was Vaishnava Seva basically. So the moment you put yourself off the focus and put Krishna in the focus, everything that is connected to you becomes Krishna centric. So here the Vrajavasis had done exactly that. The Vrajavasis, the entire Vrindavan revolved around the concept of pleasure to Krishna, intending to please Krishna. So entire Vrindavan revolved around this concept, and therefore Krishna was very easily pleased with them. So here what we really learn from this is that Vaishnava is not about an external appearance only. Vaishnava is about the internal consciousness more. A demon is a Vaishnava. A simple elderly lady who apparently seems to be a queen, a mother of such powerful warriors, she is a devotee. And here Vrajavasis, who are simple villagers, who have, you may not find them wearing tilak and kantimala and having, dhoti kurta type of attire, a typical ISKCON-ish look. No. They may be having just regular dress, but the heart is his Krishna conscious. So, when we look at devotees, who is a devotee? It's not so much about appearance. It's not so much about hairstyle or dress style. It is a lot about what is the style of consciousness, style of thinking in the heart. So, what is the result of taking shelter of the Lord? Here, Vrindavan epitomes what is the result of taking shelter of the Lord. Fame is something that the world is running after. Glorification is something that the world is running after. Desperate for, glorification. But the glorification of this world, world's glorification, is very fickle and cheap. Very, very cheap. Doesn't really last long. We see so many people who rise to fame, and their posters put all over the world, practically every billboard in having their posters. Such fame, it's intoxicating sometimes when you see, posters put up like that. Just imagine they're traveling around in cities and every billboard have their own photos, posters. What kind of intoxication it can create, right? But the same person, if he does one mistake, just one mistake, that one mistake is enough for people to pull down those boards and burn them. Just imagine the same person traveling around, seeing his boards being burnt everywhere, right? History has seen this repeatedly. Recently, there was one very famous actor whose, birthday, I think, some particular birthday was being celebrated. They made a huge effigy of this person, 50 feet, 30 feet, 40 feet effigy of this person, and they bathed that effigy with milk. Can you imagine? Somebody, an actor who has acted for a couple of decades, he's having such fame and appreciation. So naturally, if somebody sees that kind of fame and appreciation, it's very intoxicating. But behind that fame and appreciation, you also remember the duration of it is short lasting. The duration of it is very fickle, and duration of it is very, it's not really going to be there for long. Fame, therefore, in spiritual perspectives, is compared to water drops on a lotus leaf. How long does it last? You throw it, it lasts for a few seconds. Somehow, even if you try to balance it, you know, once we try to keep a leaf, water drop on a leaf, lotus leaf, and try to balance it, how much ever we tried, nobody could retain that balance for more than a few seconds. And that is, if you hold the leaf and artificially try to balance it. But if you leave the leaf to be naturally standing on that water and you put a drop, you see how long it stays. It doesn't even stay for a few seconds. If you hold it artificially and try to balance it, it may stay for a few minutes. But if you allow it to be naturally there, it doesn't last for that long also. So fame of this world is like a drop of water being thrown on a lotus leaf that is naturally standing. It doesn't last for long at all. But the fame of the spiritual world, what one gets by serving Krishna, by being connected to Krishna, is eternal fame. The Vrajavasis are eternally famous because they have taken shelter of Krishna. Their fame revolves around Krishna's fame. Their fame is not an independent fame. Their fame is revolving as long as Krishna is famous, they are famous. When your fame is centered around Krishna's fame, that fame lasts for much longer. So Vrajavasis were like pieces of dirt. But when pieces of dirt enter into the mouth of an oyster, those pieces of dirt become pearls. So Vrajavasis consider themselves to be like pieces of dirt, insignificant. But they allowed themselves to be enclosed by the protective oyster of Krishna's energies. And because they did that, they became famous like pearls. So Krishna, he comes to this world to give us an experience of the spiritual world. Therefore, within this world, Krishna creates atmospheres of spiritual perfection. So it's not that Krishna only needs Vrindavan to create the atmosphere of the spiritual world. Krishna can do the same thing everywhere. We find in the Battle of Kurukshetra, during the episode where Jayadrath was to be killed by Arjun, and Arjun had taken a vow that if he doesn't kill Jayadrath, he'll die. And the whole day, Arjuna was fighting. But actually, the whole Battle of Kurukshetra had 18 Akshani soldiers. That many soldiers in both the sides, 7 on Pandavas and 11 on Kaurava's side. But in one day, Arjun, with his anger, because of the way his son was treated, he eliminated one Akshani Sena. Practically, a whole section of the battle. So which means that it was quite an exhausting task. So the horses, towards the evening, they were being exhausted. They were totally exhausted and they couldn't move. So Krishna told Arjun that these horses cannot move anymore. So sensitivity exhibited not just achieving results, but also to help people who help us achieve those results is very important. So here, Krishna knew that victory for Arjuna is important, but he also knew that he had to be sensitive towards the needs of the horses, who are going to be instrumental in getting that victory. So he told Arjuna, we need to stop at this point of time. So Arjuna said, no problem. And he built a fort of arrows. And within the fort of arrows, he threw an arrow down and he brought out the Ganga, the water. And Krishna was massaging the horses, feeding the horses, bathing the horses, really taking love and care of the horses. Outside that fence of arrows was an entire battle of Kurukshetra. So creating Vrindavan within the battle of Kurukshetra is something that Krishna does every time. Krishna does constantly. During the episode of Ashwathama, one time Ashwathama threw an arrow called Narayanastra. And when he threw this arrow, practically everyone, no one knew how to counteract this arrow. Naturally, only Krishna knew. So he told everyone, he just got up and he declared to everyone, put down your bows and arrows, put down all your instruments and lie flat on the ground. So now, as soon as Krishna said that, everyone in the battlefield put down the bows and arrows, put down all the instruments and lie, they were lying flat on the ground. Except Bhima. Bhima said, I don't care for the Narayana, I don't care for any of the Astras, I'm going and fighting. So he was running to fight, Krishna practically caught him, wrestled with him, pushed him down, and made him sleep on the ground. And then Krishna stood up, and he took the Narayanastra on his chest. And as soon as the Narayanastra hit his chest, it became a garland. And then everybody asked him, why did you make us lie on the ground? Krishna said, the only counteraction for Narayanastra is if you pay respects to it. If you pay respects to it, the Narayanastra doesn't hit you. It cannot do anything to you. But if you try to fight with it, it will destroy you. So creating a temple atmosphere in Vrindavan, in a battlefield, is something that Krishna is doing again. So Krishna doesn't need actually to be in Vrindavan to create Vrindavan. He doesn't need to be in some particular place to show an experience of the spiritual world. He doesn't need anything. He just needs the desire to show the spiritual world to his devotees. And he needs devotees who deserve to see the spiritual world. So when there are devotees who deserve to see the spiritual world, and when he desires to show the spiritual world manifests there. So if you study Srila Prabhupada, he was a devotee of Krishna. And naturally being a devotee of Krishna, he could create the same effects that Krishna could create personally. What Prabhupada did, in a park which is filled with all kinds of people who have nothing to give and take with a temple atmosphere, he created a temple atmosphere. He created chanting of the holy names of the Lord. He created dancing for the pleasure of the Lord. He created distribution of prasad. So the activities of the spiritual world need not be situated only within four walls. These are situated within the intentions of the devotee, intentions of the Lord. If the Lord wants to manifest the spiritual world, he can manifest it anywhere. And if the devotees want to manifest the spiritual world, they can manifest it anywhere. So, Vrindavan, if you see from one perspective, every person who came to Vrindavan, that person, every demon who came to Vrindavan, what that demon succeeded in doing is only increasing the atmosphere of dependence on Krishna. What is a temple? What is a spiritual world? It is a place where one learns to practice to increase one's dependence on the Lord. One learns to practice to take shelter of the Lord more and more and more. So every demon that came to Vrindavan, he apparently came to destroy the mood of Vrindavan. He apparently came to destroy the center of Vrindavan, Krishna. But what he actually succeeded in doing is creating a more intense atmosphere of spirituality in Vrindavan. So demonic forces need not necessarily impede us from taking shelter of Krishna more, but rather they can aggravate or they can increase our concept of taking shelter of Krishna more and more and more. Varuna, the servants of Varuna, apparently wanted to create an atmosphere of anxiety for Nanda Maharaj, for all the Vrajavasis. But what they created in doing was, they created in increasing the faith of the Vrajavasis and Nanda Maharaj in Krishna. So apparently what Vrindavan is every situation that comes in the Vrajavasi's life only ends up in increasing the faith, increasing the devotion, and increasing the love of the Vrajavasis towards Krishna. That's what Vrindavan is about. So, if one really needs to see Krishna's spiritual abode, what one needs to do is not really, we don't need to go to the spiritual world to be able to see the spiritual, to be able to experience the kingdom of God. We can experience the kingdom of God wherever we are, provided we have the intention to be able to experience it, the desire to be able to experience it. And the moment the desire is there to experience it, we need to work on the desire and deserve to experience it. And when we have a desire and when we deserve it, then Krishna will naturally reveal the spiritual world to us. Parikshit Maharaj, he talks about why many people don't develop taste for Krishna Katha. Why many people don't develop inclination for hearing Krishna Katha, relish Krishna Katha? Parikshit Maharaj says that those who are simply engaged in killing animals, and those who are simply engaged in killing the animals and the soul, such a person can never develop attraction for serving Krishna, attraction for hearing Krishna Katha. From our perspective, what it means, we may say we are not killing any animals. We may say we are vegetarians already. We may say we are Krishnatarians, whatever we may say. But the fact is, what is animal killing? Essentially, animal killing is being insensitive. So when we are insensitive towards other devotees, we will not experience Krishna Katha. We will not experience taste in the holy names of the Lord. So being a combination of, you know, a good sadhaka on a personal front and a good devotee in terms of wholesome relationships on a social front, that combination leads to taste for the holy name. So our taste for the holy name is not only dependent on the way we deal with our own consciousness and the way we deal with our own discipline. It also depends a lot on how we deal with other devotees, how we are sensitive towards the needs, interests and concerns of other devotees. If we are, then natural product is that we develop taste for the holy name, taste for Krishna Katha. And so basically, I'll just end with one note on the whole trap behind a devotee taking shelter of the Lord is that when we start taking shelter of the Lord, we sometimes tend to think that now I am in the secure shelter of Krishna, I become authorized to give shelter to others. So offering shelter to others may become a trap for a sadhaka, especially when one doesn't understand, when one is unguided. So when we take shelter of the Lord, there is a question of dependence. There is a quality of dependence. We feel very strongly, I need to depend on Krishna. But when we think that we can give shelter to others, then there is a trap of feeling that I am not dependent, but I am giving others. Others are dependent on me. So that trap is a very dangerous trap, which is what Bharat Maharaj's pastime epitomes. Bharat Maharaj, he had reached the highest level of devotion, but at that level also he felt, when he felt that I can give shelter to somebody, a small deer he gave shelter to. So that's when he got into the trap. So one should definitely sacrifice one's self-interest for the sake of others, but one should not sacrifice one's spiritual interest for the sake of others. So when you don't understand the difference between the two, what we end up doing is that we end up sacrificing our spiritual interest for the sake of uplifting others. So in one sense, it becomes an ego trip rather than becoming another opportunity to take shelter. When one preaches, when one helps others, essentially what one is doing is, one is helping others become dependent on Krishna rather than becoming dependent on us. So if one becomes like a wall between Krishna and that person, thinking that the mercy should flow only through me, that's when the problem begins. So Vrajavasis, Nanda Maharaj never allowed himself to become that wall. Vrajavasis were dependent on him for their connection with Krishna, but Nanda Maharaj didn't act like a wall, absorbing all their dependence. What he did was, he directed everything towards Krishna. Here the Vrajavasis are asking Nanda Maharaj, how amazing the Lord is, how amazing your son is. Nanda Maharaj is not saying, he is my son, and therefore he is like that, you know. Nanda Maharaj is not bringing the concept that any connection with himself. He is only purely allowing them to develop their dependence on Krishna, them to develop their faith in Krishna, and them to develop their love in Krishna. Of course, from the perspective of the devotee never wants to go directly to Krishna. They want to go through the servant. They want to go in that order. But from the person who is giving, he shouldn't think that I am the one who is the channel. So such a thing makes combination very, very fruitful. So to conclude, we saw that this whole pastime, if you study it from the perspective of Vritrasura, we see it from how Vritrasura is helping Indra to see the light of taking shelter of the Lord and having faith in the instruments of the Lord's will. Then one becomes much, much stronger. We saw how Srila Prabhupada, in so many of his life's examples, he thought of how when we have faith in the holy name, which is actually the instrument of the Lord, one can achieve great things. And fame in Krishna consciousness comes when one actually doesn't think that it's because of him, but rather he just feels connected to the Lord, and then that leads to eternal fame, which is not short-lasting, but it is everlasting. And then we also saw how Krishna, in the in any atmosphere he can create the spiritual world. So here, in an atmosphere of anxiety between the Vrajavasis, he's going to create Vrindavan, create the kingdom of God. He's going to show them an experience of the kingdom of God. We saw how in Kurukshetra, in so many episodes, he created the kingdom of God in a violent atmosphere. So in our lives also, where we are filled with the vices of Kali Yuga, and we're living in an atmosphere filled with Kali's agents, Krishna can manifest the spiritual world, provided we first desire to see it, but more than desire, we work hard to be able to deserve to see it. And then, when Krishna sees that we desire and we deserve, if he wills, then he'll show us the spiritual world. Hare Krishna. I'm so sorry if I spoke anything beyond my realizations or understanding. If there's anything that useful that I spoke, it's not definitely my credit. It's the credit of the great devotees of the Lord whom we have heard from. Thank you very much. Granthraj Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Srila Prabhupada ki, jai.
Hare Krishna.
It is a request to all the devotees to kindly pray for His Grace Rasananda Prabhu, who has left His body today morning. He was father-in-law of Raghunath Prabhu.